If you're an income investor and you're not generating more than $500 a month, we have one question for you.
Are you crazy?
Let ETFGuide.com help you. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies should be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 per month.
Go to ETFGuide.com to get our
monthly income trades. Click on ETF combos and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow.
Isn't it time you lowered your risk
and increased your monthly income? Go to ETFGuide.com and we'll show you how.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us. You're listening to the Index Investing Show, 877-711-5611. Coming up on today's broadcast, stock market still at all-time highs. S&P 500 defying lower earnings per share forecast for fourth quarter. Also coming up, we're going to be talking with my program guest, Chad Carnes, about several key market developments, one of them being the VIX. And we're going to talk about some of the positive divergences happening in financial markets with U.S. stocks at all-time highs, yet the VIX not making all-time lows. If you'd like to join us, 877-711-5611 is the number. You can tweet the program live at Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can also email me, ron@indexshow.com. If you'd like to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment theme, I'm game. Now, let's take a look at what happened in the financial markets. Let's begin with the sectors. Sectors within the S&P 500, 8 out of 9 sector spider ETFs hitting yearly highs. Now, there have been some pockets of weakness in the stock market, but I'm telling you, you cannot help but be impressed by the broadness of this particular rally. Now, as I mentioned, 8 out of 9 sector spider ETFs recording yearly highs this past week. This points to broad strength in the stock market, supported by a long-term uptrend. Now, you'll notice a few particular sectors like consumer discretionary, that's ticker symbol XLY, industrials, XLI, healthcare, XLV, and then financials, XLF, have been leading this year. And we've got technology, XLK, materials, XLB, energy, XLE, and utilities, XLU, lagging. But still, utilities are the only sector this year thus far not hitting yearly highs. The rest, as I just showed you, are at 52-week highs. And that, again, signals a very strong performing market. In terms of stock market volatility, as measured by the VIX, we've got the VIX trading near 52-week lows, but interestingly, still not breaking below yearly lows. That's called positive divergence. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on today's program. Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com, will be joining us in a little bit. Stay tuned for that. That's going to be a great interview. And the VIX, well, I think you kind of know my view on that. Number one, the VIX is supposed to measure stock market fear, and by that particular benchmark or yardstick, there hasn't been much fear in this particular market at all. And as I've said before, a fearless stock market is a dangerous place to invest. So keep your stop losses. Also, having a little bit of cash makes absolute sense, because when this market corrects, and we don't know when exactly it will be, but when it does, I have a feeling it will be a sharp correction. But in the meantime, the VIX is due for a pop. And when we see that correction, the VIX will pop. Be patient, be ready. And 877-711-5611 is the number. Please join us. Great article at ETFGuide.com from Chad Carnes, who will be joining us a little bit. He's talking about the two-month cycle in the VIX. This is a trend that he's observed since March. The VIX has popped roughly every 2 months, and we're overdue for another pop for the VIX, and we could get that. Lest I remind you, that we've got U.S. budget negotiations scheduled for the middle of December, and I don't know of any way to better hedge against political chaos, political uncertainty, political gridlock, political nonsense than being long the VIX. And there's several ways you can play this, and we've done this at ETFGuide.com in our monthly newsletter and our weekly picks. We've played this particular theme of going long the VIX pretty much whenever it dips below 13. And that has been a great opportunity to go long the VIX. We've made money, not on every single trade, but I have to say most of the time, this has been a very good trade. And will this time be different? We'll just have to see. But the VIX right now, I liken it to insurance. The time to buy insurance is when it's inexpensive, when it's cheap, when the house is not on fire. That's the time you want to buy insurance. When the house is on fire, when the house is burning down, when thieves have broken in and stolen and ransacked everything, that's not the time to buy insurance. You buy insurance before the disaster. You buy insurance before the correction. So similarly with the VIX, that's a time you got to be positioned in it, is before the volatility strikes, because once it does, you're going to miss it. So we're going to talk a little bit more, as I said, with Chad about this. Favorite ways to play the VIX? Well, call options. That's one way to play it. If you're not approved to trade options, another way to play the VIX are through VIX ETPs or VIX ETFs. There's a couple of ticker symbols. VIXY is a VIX ETF from ProShares. Not perfect, not exactly my favorite way to play the VIX, but for those of you that don't have options trading approval, it's certainly, I think, a good ticker symbol to take a look at if you want to play volatility, short-term volatility, ticker symbol VIXY. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Please join us. We'll take in a look at other action this past week. Janet Yellen, incoming Federal Reserve Chairman, confirming pretty much that QE is here to stay and that the Fed will continue to be accommodative of not just the broader economy, but of financial markets. So really no surprises there. In terms of what we follow as a leading market indicator, never what the Fed says, because the Fed is just a double-talking institution. They indicate one thing one week and then indicate the opposite the following week. And if we try to make investment decisions based upon Fed meeting notes or Fed minute notes or what Janet Yellen or Ben Bernanke say, well, we're really misleading ourselves, because the market and market prices are a leading indicator. So that's how we make decisions. And taking a look at the Treasury market, the Fed will continue to buy $85 billion a month of long-term U.S. Treasuries. And here's kind of another market dislocation. We've got temporary calm in the Treasury market. We've got the 10-year yield around 2.7%. Yet, take a look at that chart for the past year on Treasury yields and tell me what you find. Well, let me tell you what I found. The yield on not just the 10-year Treasury, but 30-year Treasury is up, depending on which duration you're looking at, but up over 40% over the past year. Yet, the Fed continues to buy long-term Treasuries in its attempt to suppress or keep down interest rates. Yet, if you look at the actual market price action, the Fed's QE hasn't worked by that measure. So we've got interest rates rising despite the Fed's continuation without letup of quantitative easing. Great trades in short or inverse performing ETFs linked to Treasuries. A couple I'm going to give you, ticker symbol TBT, which aims for double daily opposite performance to long-term Treasuries. That's a ProShares ETF. And then you've got ticker symbol TMV, which is a Direction Shares ETF, does the same thing, aims for triple daily opposite performance long-term U.S. Treasuries, except with a little bit more leverage than TBT. TMV is 3x leverage. TBT is 2x leverage. So those of you that are bearish on treasuries, that's been a good trade thus far this year. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLeggi. If you'd like to join us, we're here, 877-711-5611. My Twitter handle, at Index Show. I'll be right back after this short break. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLeggi.
Welcome back from the break. This is the Index Investing Show, 877-711-5611 is the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. Ron@indexshow.com is my email address. Now, my November ETF Profit Strategy newsletter is out. It's been released, and I encourage you to pick up a copy. Go to etfguide.com, and when you go there, use Trade Up. You'll get a $50 discount. Now, some of the things contained within the November newsletter, we've got our vital signs, a snapshot of some of the key asset classes, not just stocks, bonds, but also commodities and currencies. Also, an article titled Performance Chasers, Beware! We see the Dow Jones Industrial Average already suffering. We've also got an article talking about junk bonds. Are they confirming the markets being at all-time highs? So take a look at the junk bond market and get some cues. We've also got our mega investment theme report contained in the November newsletter. That's pretty popular. We summarize 10 mega investment themes that are currently unfolding, that are currently happening, and how to play those using ETFs. And then we've also got the ETF performance trends, including all the a rundown of all the industry sector ETFs along with the top yielding ETFs. So go to etfguide.com and get the November newsletter. Now, taking a look at the S&P 500, earnings expectations for the third quarter so far have been pretty good. We've got 460 companies, I should say earnings results, 460 companies so far for the third quarter, with 460 companies within the S&P 500 have reported, and 75% have beaten profit estimates. That's according to Bloomberg. So pretty good in terms of earnings reports for third quarter. But looking ahead to the fourth quarter, earnings expectations have been falling. In October, analysts lowered fourth quarter 2013 EPS estimates for the S&P 500 by 1.5%. Yet, the index rose 4.5% for the month. Now, odd as that may seem, this particular trend has consistently repeated itself. FactSet observes, in recent quarters, it has not been unusual. In fact, it has occurred in 7 out of the past 9 quarters, including this particular quarter, fourth quarter 2013. During those 7 quarters, the average decrease in the expectations for earnings in the S&P 500 has been 2.6%. Yet, the average increase in the value of the index has been 4.7%. So do you see the disconnection here? Do you see the market dislocation? Even though earnings expectations have been low and beaten down, the S&P 500 has actually been rising. So there have been some disappointments. It hasn't been all party and celebration. Some disappointments include the retail sector. Walmart beat profit estimates by a penny, but total revenue was up just 1.7% compared to a year ago. Company also gave a weak outlook for the fourth quarter. And this has been an ongoing thing with Walmart. I don't know if anybody else has noticed this trend. In the first quarter, Walmart missed revenue and guided below expectations. They blamed weather as a factor for lagging sales. Second quarter, Walmart did the same thing. They missed. They guided below expectations. They blamed weak consumer spending. They blamed the payroll tax, lack of inflation, blah, blah, blah. Walmart's just been full of excuses. And the performance of Walmart's stock says it all. Walmart has badly underperformed its peer group, the consumer staples sector SPDR, that's ticker symbol XLP, by almost 15% over the past year alone, and by a whopping 37% over the past 5 years. Walmart has been a dog. Whenever an individual stock that you own underperforms its peer sector or peer sector ETF, you've got a dog. And what do you do to a dog? Do you keep it? Well, you got to sometimes cut it loose. And now would be a good time to do that. If you've owned Walmart for any length of period of time, this is the time of year to do it. Fourth quarter. Take a look at possibly, if it makes sense for you, doing some tax loss selling and exchanging that stock, that losing position, realizing a loss if you have one, taking advantage of that. You can maintain exposure to consumer staples, Walmart's peer sector, XLP, which, by the way, XLP has a position in Walmart along with Target and a whole bunch of other retail-oriented or consumer-oriented companies. But this is just one strategy that you can utilize right now at this particular time of the year. Now, another stock that has been an absolute dog has been Cisco Systems. That's ticker symbol CSCO, which has badly lagged its peer group. That's the technology sector spider, ticker symbol XLK. Over the past 5 years, Cisco's stock price has risen just 58% compared to a 147% gain for the S&P technology sector, XLK. Can you believe that? I mean, look at the discrepancy. Cisco rising just 58%, technology sector rising 147%. Incredible. Cisco is the world's largest maker of computer networking equipment. Company is also forecasting its first quarterly sales decline in 4 years. So comparing the performance of individual stocks versus their peer industry group and the ETFs tracking them is one easy way to see whether a stock is a leader or a laggard. 877-711-5611 is the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, I'm game. Now, coming up in a little bit, we've got Chad Carnes. He's the chief market strategist at ETFGuide.com. He will be joining us. He's warming up in the bullpen. We're going to talk about not just the stock market. We'll get into talking about the volatility and how depressed it is. We'll also talk a little bit about what's happening with other asset classes like commodities. So Chad Carnes coming up in a little bit. You won't want to miss that. And I want to mention, too, if you ever, for whatever reason, are not able to catch our regular radio broadcast on a weekly basis, you can always catch our podcast, which is available for free at iTunes.com. Just search under the Index Investing Show. You can also pick up our podcast via YouTube. Yes, we do have a YouTube channel, so you can subscribe there. Just look under the Index Investing Show. I want to talk with you about an indicator called the Francis Bacon Indicator. And this is an indicator that you probably have not heard about. And it relates to soaring prices in the art market. And as they say, or as the saying goes, art imitates life. And we saw this past week record prices in the art market for one particular artist. He's a British painter. He died in 1992, and his name is Francis Bacon. And so I've come up with the Francis Bacon Indicator, and I want to share with you what that is all about. And is the Francis Bacon Indicator signaling trouble ahead, not just for the art market, which is on fire, but other financial markets? So the Francis Bacon Indicator, stay tuned for that. We'll get into that. Those of you that like art, those of you that enjoy museums, you're going to love my Francis Bacon Indicator. And I'm a huge fan of the arts, if you haven't learned by now. I mean, after all, my book, Gents With No Sense, has what? No less than 20 cartoons or drawings? I mean, I'm supporting the arts right there. The graphic artist who did those drawings, by the way, did an outstanding job, Dave Clegg. But anyway, if you want to check that out, by the way, Gents With No Sense, just go to Amazon.com. It is a 4.5-star reader-rated book, Gents With No Sense. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. Coming up next, Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com. Go nowhere.
You've heard them on the radio and seen them on TV.
Gold experts promising big profits.
The truth is, gold prices have crashed and investment demand is down over 50%, according to the World Gold Council. While gold experts keep promising higher prices, the Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com told its subscribers the gold bubble would pop.
Our gold alert given to subscribers in early 2013 resulted in a 500% gain.
Listening to gold experts would have lost you a boatload of money. Listening to ETFGuide.com would have helped you to profit. Stop listening to gold experts and stop following the crowd. Subscribe to the Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com and make money.
Our no bull approach is world famous, and what happens next in the gold market will shock the entire globe.
Join today and get a $50 bonus by using promo code SAVE50. We'll tell you what to buy, what to sell, and when to do it. Be ready for the next big move in gold only at ETFGuide.com.
We're pleased to have with us Chad Carnes. He's Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com. He covers all the major ETFs, looking at the fundamentals, technicals, market sentiment, and he features that via a technical forecast that's updated twice a week. He's my colleague. I work with him at ETFGuide.com. And Chad, welcome to the program. Always great to catch up with you.
Hey, thanks for having me again. It is a great time coming on here.
Well, let's talk about the U.S. stocks, which have been trading at all-time highs. At the same time, you would expect the VIX to be hitting all-time lows. Of course, the VIX measuring stock market volatility, also known as the fear indicator, but it hasn't really been hitting all-time lows. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, this isn't the first time. It's actually been a theme all year that when the S&P makes new highs, the VIX has not confirmed it by making new lows. Back in March is when the VIX set the yearly low around 11, and that was actually a six-month low. But then in April, the market made new highs. The VIX did not make a new low below that 11 level. Again in May, the same thing occurred. The market made new all-time highs, yet the VIX did not confirm by making a new low. August, September, and now again in late October, the same thing has been occurring. And when that happens, it's called, in technical terms, it's called a positive divergence, and what it basically means is that when you have two markets, such as volatility in the stock market, that should confirm one another, and one of them is not, it's usually a sign and can present an opportunity to profit from it, which we have done multiple times this year by buying the VIX whenever it's not made a new low, even though the markets have made a new high. And it's protected us from a lot of these little short-term tops that have been occurring. One other thing on the VIX that for the year anyways, it's when it falls below 13, which it did, early last week, it's been below 13. It's been a very short time below it. So by buying the VIX whenever it gets down to 13 and keeping a stop around the 11 level, it sets yourself up for a good high probability trade that you can ride the VIX up to the upper teens, which has happened time and time again this year on about a two-month cycle.
Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com, joining us. Let's talk about rising interest rates. Here we have another major investment theme that you have been right about. We've had you on the show before. You've talked about this. And I guess it's just another reason why people should follow market prices and not what the double-talking Federal Reserve says, because even with the Fed's attempt to keep interest rates low, we see the yield on treasuries still jumping by more than 50% year over year. Talk about that.
Yeah, back in May, a key thing happened with treasuries. They fell through a support level that had been in place since 2011. So their price had been rising, as everyone knows, the bond bull market. But then something happened back in May. Prices fell through a key level that had held for, you know, well over 2 years. And that was a sign that the intermediate uptrend was over. In our technical forecast, also back in May, we had our readers shifting out of the long duration bonds, which we use the TLT, which is an ETF that tracks the long-term treasury. And then when it was around 116, we had people shifting into the shorter duration. And that saved them, you know, year to date, that saved them about 8%. as it's fallen since then, and short-term treasuries have remained relatively flat. And then in July, I spoke to Investor's Business Daily about the recent shift in the trends, and how many economists, as you alluded to, you know, they're actually trying to say that, that rising interest rates are good for the economy and a good thing. But when you look at history, yeah, it's not very. When you look at history, it just doesn't pan out. And sometimes I feel these guys, they never look at charts and they never look at history, because a steepening yield curve, which is when long-dated bond yields rise faster than shorter-dated bond yields, when that happens, it's been a very bad omen for the economy and the markets. That occurred in 1990, it occurred in the year 2000, and it occurred again in 2007, preceding all those recessions. And again, the curve has been steepening since 2012, and that's something I'm watching very closely. I like to play those rising yields is through an ETF called STPP, which tracks that yield curve, and it'll rise whenever the yield curve rises. So it'll protect you from rising interest rates. I also think that it's close to time to buy TBT, which is a leveraged short ETF that tracks the longer term bond price. It's kind of the inverse of the TLT I alluded to earlier. I don't think the time is just quite there yet for TBT, but it should be right around the corner.
Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com, joining us. He covers all the major ETFs with a technical forecast updated twice a week. Go there, ETFGuide.com. Gold is headed for its first yearly loss in 12 years, and gold bugs remain unconvinced that lower prices in gold or silver are ahead. What are the charts saying about gold?
Yeah, you know, the gold bugs, they just refuse to admit defeat, and they're paying for it. On May 6th, on our homepage at ETFGuide.com, there's an article that I did that shows one chart that I think the gold bugs should look at, and I don't think they are. And it basically questions, how can there be inflation if the dollar is actually getting stronger? And that chart shows that since QE started, you know, which is the excuse that most of the gold bugs are using for this runaway inflation that's right around the corner, since that has started, the dollar's actually gained strength. And if the dollar's gaining strength, it's going to be extremely hard for gold and other commodities to be gaining in value. A dollar gaining in strength is actually deflationary, the complete opposite of what most of the gold bugs are using as their reason to continue to buy gold. Now, you know, last time I was on the show, we talked about when gold broke below its 1550 level in April and how, you know, how we were on top of that and ready for it. And, you know, we've been banging the table on this deflationary scenario for years now, which is not, you know, that's not going to bode well for commodities, and so far it hasn't. I think gold's long-term trend, you know, after a relief, which I talked about in July last time I was on your show, I think that relief may now be over. I think Friday's 1.5% down day may have put a, you know, a stake in that, and I expect the longer-term trend, which is down, to now, you know, resume in full force.
You wrote an outstanding article at ETF Guide about how the Dow Jones Industrial Average has some major flaws hidden in plain sight. So what's wrong with the Dow?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fairly complicated sounding, and you have to do a little math to see the real ins and out of it. But essentially, it's all because it's a price-weighted index. So the math on a price-weighted index works a lot differently than you know, most of the other indexes, which are market cap-weighted. So in particular on the Dow, the higher priced a stock is, the more it affects the Dow, the more weighting it has in the Dow, and the more significance it has in the Dow. So the recent shuffle that the Dow committee did was they removed three stocks which were very low priced. In fact, they were the three lowest priced stocks in the Dow in September: Alcoa, Hewlett-Packard, and Bank of America. And they replaced it with three very high-priced stocks. Two of those, Goldman Sachs and Visa, are now the two of the top three highest priced stocks in the Dow. So what that means is those two stocks are now as important as IBM, which was the most important stock in the Dow. So by just shifting out of those three lower priced stocks, they've shifted the weight and the meaning of the Dow top heavy to those higher priced stocks such as Goldman and Visa. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is the timing. And if you look back in history, the Dow committee is actually pretty horrible at timing. I did in a recent newsletter, I did a detailed look at this, but just as an example, it took the Dow committee until 1999 before they added Intel and Microsoft to the Dow. So only after both those stocks had risen, you know, thousands of percent throughout the 1990s, did they add them to the Dow. And again, you know, it took them 4.5 years of a bull market before they decided to shift out of these lower price stocks and into these high flyers of Visa, Goldman, and Nike. And one of the things I talked about as well is this shift. If they would have done this instead of doing it in September of 2013, if they did it at the market lows back in March of 2009, the Dow would be 2,000 points higher today. And I think that just gives you an example of them doing one of the worst moves an investor can make by using, you know, past performance to try to predict future performance. They're the ultimate herd mentality, and they're making a crucial mistake here by adding these high-priced, high-flyer stocks after a 4.5-year bull market. Because if they think that they can rise on the upside, they certainly can fall quicker on the downside.
Yeah, that's some great points, and they've been notoriously late to the party for sure, the Dow Committee. We're just talking here with Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com. Go there. He covers all the major ETFs, does a technical forecast, updated twice a week. Chad, thanks for joining us. Great interview, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Ron.
This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. More when we return. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, if you're just joining us, we got off the line there with Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com, and my colleague. We do research. He covers the technical forecast at ETFGuide.com, does an outstanding job, as you just heard in that interview, covers all the major asset classes, stocks, bonds, gold, and the ETFs tracking them. And it tells you basically what's going on in these markets and on which side of the market to be, where the odds favor you, the individual investor. So that's updated twice a week. Go to ETFGuide.com. When you sign up for the Profit Strategy Newsletter, you get that. You get the technical forecast. He has just written an outstanding article, which we have a link to on our Facebook account, also on our Twitter account. The title of that article is A 2-Month VIX Cycle. And the VIX, as you know, or as you should know, is a benchmark or yardstick of stock market volatility in the S&P 500. And the VIX made a low, 2013 low, back in March of 11.05. Yet the VIX currently has yet to confirm this market's rally because it is not making a new low itself. And this is what Chad described as a positive divergence, and it is a little bit of a warning sign. We also told you earlier in the show that 8 out of 9 S&P 500 industry sectors touched their yearly highs. So from a broadness perspective, in terms of market sectors, we see most of the sectors performing very well, and that, I think, is a good sign. So the only sector thus far which has not confirmed or hit its yearly high has been the utility sector, ticker symbol XLU, which nevertheless is up double digits, but XLU still not hitting its yearly high. And that particular sector, utilities, has been hurt a little bit by higher interest rates. And yes, interest rates have been going up. If you take a look at the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries and the yield on 30-year long-term treasuries over the past year, you're looking at a gain in yields of over 40% and 50% respectively. So the yield cycle is up. Now, for bond investors, that means lower bond prices because of that inverse relationship. When bond yields move up, bond prices move down. That's the cycle that we're in. And that's also probably explains why you're seeing your bond mutual funds with lower values because of the bond yields rising. And this has been a great opportunity. This has been one of those major investment themes that we've been talking about, not just on the show, but at ETFGuide.com and our monthly newsletter, talking about how to actually make money from this particular trend. Ticker symbol TMV, which aims for triple daily opposite performance, long-term U.S. Treasuries, has been a great trade. That particular ETF we've talked about numerous times as an excellent way to profit or capitalize on this trend of higher interest rates. And TMV, over the past 6 months, has gained almost 25%. I mean, that's a pretty darn good return. And that's been actually one of the few bear ETFs that actually have been a good performer. So ticker symbol TMV, put that one on your radar screen. Another leveraged ETF, this is a bull ETF that's been a real star performer, has been ticker symbol SPXL, which aims for triple daily performance of the S&P 500. Over the past month, SPXL ahead by 17.5%. So a pretty good run here. And if you take a look not just at the market, but also times and seasons, I think about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which says there's a time and a season for everything. And right now, the stock market almanac describes this current time period as fourth quarter magic. They looked at the S&P 500's performance from 1949 to the end of 2012. Which of the four quarters had the best performance? Was it the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter? Well, based upon market history, S&P 500 performs the best during the fourth quarter. That's called the fourth quarter magic. Positive market psychology hits a fever pitch as the holiday season approaches and does not begin to wane until spring. And that's what the stock almanac calls the fourth quarter magic. Professionals drive the market higher as they make portfolio adjustments to maximize year-end numbers. Bonuses are paid and invested around the turn of the year. But the market sweet spot of the four-year cycle begins in the fourth quarter of the midterm year. And so that's exactly the time period that we're in. So you've got that, but these are just some things I want to make you aware of. Nevertheless, we see the market on fire. Still, caution is warranted. Keep a little cash, always a good idea. And when this market corrects, well, you may be able to take advantage of lower prices. Also, cash will cushion any ensuing correction that does come. So be ready. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. If you ever miss our weekly broadcast, you can pick up our free podcast. It's available at iTunes along with YouTube. So just search for us under the Index Investing Show. Now, I baited you earlier in the show about an indicator that I came up with called the Francis Bacon Indicator. And soaring prices in the art market are imitating the stock market. And that's what we saw this past week. A 1969 triptych. Those are three canvas paintings by British artist Francis Bacon, sold for a record $142 million at a Christie's auction in New York. That was earlier this week. Now, the auction record of Bacon's work blew away the estimated sales price of $85 million, along with the previous auction record of $122 million, which was set back in May of 2012, Edvard Munch's The Scream. Boy, is that a frightening painting. Google The Scream, and you'll see what that frightening and horrific painting looks like. But Francis Bacon, his previous auction record was $86 million. Now, that was set in May of 2008. And here's the Francis Bacon indicator. Okay? Are you ready for this? So Bacon's previous auction record was set in May of 2008. Now, what happened from that moment, May 2008, through the end of that fateful year? Look at the S&P 500. It crumbled 36% lower. Now, this time around, the question is, will the Francis Bacon indicator repeat itself? Assuming a similar size correction, a 36% drop would take back the S&P 500 to third quarter 2010 prices near 1,136. Bacon, who died in 1992, claimed to be an optimist for nothing, and deformed images and objects were his hallmark. Maybe Bacon's fancy for human distortions is a fitting symbol of today's radically warped art and financial markets. Could it be? Art imitates life, no? Market bubbles can span years, even decades, but they're never indefinite. Look no further than the great bond bubble, which has already popped. Bonds are in the midst of a severe decline that began last year. Now, after the art market crashed in the early 1990s, the road to recovery was long and was painful. In fact, the art world wasn't able to get back to its 1989 highs until 2003. That's according to the MeMoses Index of Art Prices. Now, it's interesting, even though Bacon's own description of his art wasn't too favorable, his own harsh assessment of himself and his own art still hasn't stopped frenzied art collectors from bidding up Francis Bacon paintings at the auction block. So I know the connections. You're thinking to yourself, Ron, wait, why are you talking about this? Although the connections between Francis Bacon and surging asset prices may seem like a stretch, the reinvention of facts to justify higher and higher prices for stocks, real estate, and other objects of wealth is predictably human. In fact, Bacon himself said it. Great art is always a way of concentrating, reinventing what is called fact, what we know of our existence, a reconcentration, tearing away the veils that fact acquires through time. And that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. Same time, same station. To read my articles, go to etfguide.com. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.